May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Roy Campola was one of the first African-American players in the Major League Baseball League in the United States. He was one of the most valued players and won the award for the most valued players for the Brooklyn Dodgers many years in a row. In 1955, he was on the team that won the World Series. He was living the dream. But in January of 1958, he was in a tragic car accident, and his career playing ball came to a tragic and abrupt end. The car crash had left him a quadriplegic. While he was in rehab in New York City, he noticed a gold plaque on one of the walls, and he stopped to read it. As one who had been blessed with such incredible athletic gifts, it resonated deep within him and gave him courage for the road ahead. This is what it said. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of others. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all the right things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among men most richly blessed. The Lord doesn't promise to keep us from experiencing life's storms, the struggles or hardships that we face. Rather, he promises to guard that which is our true selves, our inner being, to give us strength and courage to endure and to persevere in the storms. And he makes us whole as we go through those times, and he is molding us to reflect his character within. Psalm 23 is a reminder that the Lord is with us and cares for us both in the good times and in those dark times when he is our anchor and our shield. It is a picture of a God who not only cares for us and provides for us, but also a Lord who pursues us to bring us back to himself in those times when we have gone astray or when we feel in our hearts as if we are far from the Lord. In verse 6, when David prays, "Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life," the Hebrew verb that's translated follow actually means to pursue. The Lord's love for us is such that he comes after us, desiring to bless us with his presence and his steadfast love, so that the day will come when we enter the fullness of his presence in heaven forever. In the recent school shootings that have happened in the last couple of weeks, in both of them, one young man acted bravely and heroically to take down the shooter and save many from harm. They gave their lives for others. Riley was the one who did this in North Carolina, and he was a close friend of the son of my cousin who I was with that week. Even though they're grieving terribly for the loss of this beloved young man, none of them were surprised by what he had done. They weren't surprised that he had given his life for others without even thinking about what he was doing, but just to respond immediately, because that was his character. It was his character to think first of others and to act accordingly. That innermost part of himself that reflected the character of God within wasn't touched by the shooter. He had been marked as Christ's own forever. And that part of Riley that was Riley, that everyone came to grieve in that funeral of thousands that Sunday night following, that part of him was unchanged and untouched and was in heaven with the Lord forever. In Revelation chapter 7, John is given a vision of the heavenly court. The chapter begins before our reading with an interlude in the time of judgment in those final days. It's before the final devastation. And those who have been faithful to the Lord, who are wearing their white robes because of Christ's death on the cross for them, those are to receive the seal of God on their forehead to protect them during the coming tribulation, during this final destruction. They too will have gone through this terrible time, but there's that seal on their forehead protects them from being destroyed by it. The number of those who were sealed and who are now standing before the throne is 144,000 in all, 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. It's not a literal number. These numbers are meant to be symbolic, and each number has an important meaning. They together are representing the fullness of the redemption of the people of God. 12 represents completion, perfection, and divine authority. 12 times 12,000 demonstrates the abundant and complete provision of God's work of redemption and represents the vast numbers of the people of God. Those who are sealed are seen as coming from the 12 tribes of Israel because they have been grafted into that covenant relationship with God through Christ. They've become heirs to the promise given to Abraham that all the peoples of the world will be blessed through him. So that list of the redeemed represents the redemption of the world, the redeeming of a people of God. To John, they appear, as we read in our lesson today, simply as a great multitude that no one can count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, praising and worshiping God. They've been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb and have come out of the great tribulation. They weren't saved from suffering, but were saved through suffering. Their white robes were because of the work of Christ on the cross. And that redeeming work had been accomplished in them as they walked their journey, turning to Christ, with Christ, for the strength and faithfulness to persevere. When we are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever, we are given this mark on our foreheads that identifies to the spiritual world whose we are. It is God's guarantee that we belong to him and that he will return to bring us home when our life on earth is over. It is also his seal of protection so that nothing can separate us from the love of God for us and his redeeming work within us. In ancient times, a seal was used for documents authorizing who the sender was, the author was, and to prevent them from being tampered with. The documents were rolled or folded and tied with a lump of clay pressed over the knot, and a signet ring was used to stamp that seal, keeping it protected from being tampered with. The sealing in Revelation for the protection of the people of God and authorization that they belong to the Lord also has behind it a prophecy in Ezekiel 9:4 that was hundreds of years before the time of Christ. In the vision of Ezekiel, an angel of God has come to Jerusalem to place the seal of God on the forehead of the faithful remnant there. The faithful remnant are those who have mourned the sins of the people as they have moved away from God in idolatry. Before Jerusalem was to be utterly destroyed, these people were protected. This remnant was protected with a seal on their forehead. They're not removed from the scene of destruction, but they will not be destroyed when it comes. The seal or mark that they receive is the Hebrew letter Tav, which in itself means seal or mark. In ancient times, it was a symbol that looked like the lowercase letter T, or the sign of the cross. Long before Christ, the sign of the cross was used by the angel to mark the people of God for their protection and for their identification as belonging to the Lord. To be sealed by God guaranteed that the Lord would come back for them and take them to himself forever. When we are baptized into Christ as an outward sign of that grace of God at work in us, when we put our faith in Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. And that sign of the cross, made with the oil of baptism, representing the oil, the anointing or sealing of the Holy Spirit, remains on our forehead, even though it may be invisible to us. We are marked that we belong to the Lord. The Tav is also the last letter of the alphabet, symbolizing that the work has been finished in the work of Christ on the cross. This promise to care for and protect his people was carried out by God in sending Jesus as the Good Shepherd to bring back the lost sheep, to care for them, tend them, and bring them home. The claims Jesus made in our reading in John chapter 2 are all the more clear when we understand another prophecy from Ezekiel in chapter 34 that would have been brought to mind when Jesus made the claim to be the Good Shepherd to those who would have known God's word. They would have heard from Jesus not only a promise to lead God's people and a messianic claim that was beyond political, a claim that claimed to be God, claimed to be divine. But it was also a word of judgment against the leaders who had failed to shepherd the people in the way they needed to be shepherded. The leaders have failed to care for the weak, to heal the sick, to bring back the strays or search for the lost. Instead, they have served their own needs and desires. So in judgment against them, they will be removed from tending the flock, and the Lord himself will become their shepherd. The Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered. I will tend them in a good pasture. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Then he says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I break the bars of their yokes and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. This prophecy that was both judgment and divine promise was all implied in Jesus' claim to be the Good Shepherd. As those who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever, we can be assured that the time will come when we too will stand before that throne of God in the fullness of his glory and the knowledge, the full knowledge of his steadfast love for us. In the meantime, even as we go through those times of tribulation, we can know that we are in the care of the Good Shepherd who has placed his guarantee on us, who strengthens us, comforts us, gives us that water of life that is his Spirit within and the bread of life that is Christ within sustaining us, and he upholds us in his victorious right hand. We can know that we are the Lord's and that no one will be able to snatch us out of his hand. Amen.